Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ladies and gentlemen, two men from opposite ends of the physical, cultural, and emotional spectrums, Flats and Shanks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode approximately 16 of our weekly podcast. I'm David Flatman.
Tom Shankler.
Hi, Tom.
Right, boy. Do you reckon one day I could do the intros? I've been thinking about it.
No.
You're very possessive.
Yeah.
Yeah, controlling.
Let's get the first name drop out of the way quick. Zara Phillips once heard an interview I did with Tins, or a speech I did with Tins once on stage or something. As soon as I got off, she was like, "Here he is, the mic hog."
The mic hog.
Your crowbar. Your crowbar to get it off you. It was like, well, I do. Yeah. I'm not actually a control freak in life at all, but unless it's the barbecue.
Just dinner time.
Just around meal time.
I'm going to do it next week.
No.
Yeah, I will. We'll toss a coin.
All right, you do the intros and I'll be the weirdo. We come to you this week from Tommy's mum's kitchen.
Yes.
Just outside Bath.
Yeah, you've had a cracking day off, haven't you? So I had to meet halfway. I mean, I do most of driving, but I love it. So 70 miles an hour tops, listening to Nomad, Alan Partridge.
Yeah.
Really good audio.
Last week, you said I haven't finished it.
Yeah, it's like 8 hours long.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Today's been one of the... It's not the worst day off I've ever had, but not the best. It was a complete day off apart from this, but I offered to drive my children to my in-laws in Kent/South London from Bath and back again before the podcast. So a steady 7 hours behind the wheel so far today, and it's only 4 o'clock. It's punchy.
How many do you have in the car?
How many children?
No, yeah.
No. Oh,
drinks, obviously.
How many wheeze into Volvic bottles? Do you know what though? And this is not
white wheeze.
This is not
too close to the bone.
Too way.
Truth hurts. Anyway, yeah. Sorry.
So not great, but you know, this is nothing to do with the fact that I am sponsored by Land Rover. But there are a few vehicles, more suited to a journey like that. You know, you get in the car. I've got my audiobook on in the front. The girls have got their Bluetooth headphones watching Monster High in the back. Everyone's got their heated massage seats on and life's good. And then when I get near to your mum's house here in the country, I'm on my own. I'm a bit late within the speed limits, the national speed limits. I can hustle a bit.
That's what Land Rovers, specifically Range Rovers, were built for, wasn't it? Motorway driving.
Not the Range Rover Sport, Tom. Country lanes, you can hustle a bit, okay?
Can you?
So anyway, a lot of driving, but here we are in Tom's mum's kitchen, and I always ask whenever we come here, I always ask if his mum's here. She hasn't been here yet, although I do see Tom's mum around a bit. I always ask if his sisters are here, and they never are, which is a shame because it's something we haven't talked too much about, but we have always sort of fancied each other's sisters, haven't we? No?
Yeah.
Not like we go to bed dreaming of them, but it's like...
I did. No.
You did. And so do I, actually. So now we both know. Anyway, you haven't got much to say about that, have you?
Well, I can't say too much without getting in trouble. from the Flatman family.
Yeah. The clan. Yeah.
But no, they still miss you.
Mm.
Bridget doesn't live far.
She doesn't, does she?
No.
I'm moving back into town and back into Central Park.
I mean, that's
well.
The first thing you did when you asked when you came in was, is your mum here? I said no, straight into the toilet. And
I needed wee-wees, that's all.
Sat on a toad.
Yeah.
Squashed a frog.
There was a duck in there. There's a bloody duck in there.
Oh,
but I'm moving back into town soon, so it's probably worth just...
Are you?
Yeah, just worth putting, you know, a little some flyers out or something, just in case you let you know your sister know I'm back in town.
Going
just saying.
Going to bigger and better, are you? Sometimes an 8-bedroom farmhouse with 5 acres of land isn't enough, is it? You just need a little bit more.
Listeners, I don't have that. We will probably move to a smaller house with a smaller garden.
Oh, right.
Downscaling. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
No, it'll probably... Unfortunately, it'll probably cost more than we've got, but it'll still be smaller because we need to live near the girls' new school and... practical stuff.
Yeah, I know. That's what you'll do, isn't it, when you're older?
It's real life, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
But the ride-on mower, I'm worried about that. I'm desperate not to lose my ride-on mower. I might just keep it, because you can get indicators and brake lights put on them and make them road legal.
Really?
Yeah.
Street legal?
Yeah, do like 8 mile an hour down the shops and that.
Like
be well good.
Be like Andy Powell.
Yeah.
On a golf buggy.
Yeah, a lot like Andy Powell.
3.4 miles.
What have you been doing, mate? What's your life look like the last week?
Unhealthy, mate. It's Christmas parties. I had a few last week, different ones. I had a good go on Friday night in Cardiff.
Good pop on it, did you?
Yeah, a couple of mates. Didn't touch lager. It's a bit strange.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like you. I don't drink ale yet. I haven't met
you're older
like midlife crisis.
Yeah.
But so I still drink, you know, Stella, wife beater.
Don't call it that.
No, that's a joke.
It's a joke, guys. It's not a funny joke,
yeah,
Tom.
It's
part of the big fella. Let's just call it the big fella. Okay.
Peroni.
Okay.
And had a real good crack at it. Got refused into a nightclub.
No.
Wasn't even a nightclub, really. It was a place called Live Lounge.
Yeah.
So they do live music there.
Oh yeah.
And we left a place called Tiger Tiger
in Cardiff. Yeah,
in Cardiff. Wanted to have one more drink before we went home.
Yeah.
Went to Live Lounge. Big queue. I went up to the front and said, "Look, mate," to the bouncer, "you know who I am. I know who you are. Let's get in." and he was like, "Yeah, okay."
King of Cardiff.
Yeah, he sort of said, "Yeah, okay." He can't come in though. Look at him. He's pointing to my mate Luger. And Luger's
not
like,
Dan.
No, not Dan. Paul. Got a nice little pub in Amroth, the new inn. People might have heard of it.
How long has it been around?
A year or so.
Quite new then.
Yeah. Mm. No, years. Years, mate. Right. And he said, "Go on, have a coffee round the corner, come back. Make another conversation with me, you're in."
Yeah.
So you walk around the corner, come straight back, give him the prep, like, "Come on, Luger, like, have a conversation with him, sort your eyes out for a start." They're all over the shop. One's going to the shops, the other's coming home with the change.
Yeah.
And have a conversation. So he goes up the front, and no joke, right? He was like a 15-year-old who's gone into a video shop trying to get an 18 out, and they start asking you questions.
Yeah, how'd he go?
Yeah, not very good. One word answers. "Where have you been?" "Oh, I had a bit of food, bar 44. Then we went. Oh, mate, I was trying to speak for him. And he made him do a breathalyzer. Have you ever done a breathalyzer going into a club?
On the door of a nightclub?
Door of a nightclub.
It looked like
some yellow truncheon. You've got to blow into it.
Yeah.
And if it was like green, yeah, you've hardly had much alcohol. If it's amber, you've had a bit. If it's red, you know, you're not allowed in. Bearing in mind now, this is 10 hours into our Christmas party.
So he's had a couple of pints. So he went red?
Went red, refused. And then my mate did it. It also went red. And he was fine. So, yeah.
Did you do it?
No.
Because some people could turn it red, and all right, you wouldn't drive, but you could go into a nightclub.
Yeah.
Over the limit. That's
No
one's ever gone into a nightclub under the limit, have they?
No. Well, that defeats the object then, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's no fun then.
What about you?
Which is a really noisy room. That reminds me, Tommy, of a time at Vaults nightclub. I think it was called The Works by then, in Kingston.
Vaults, I remember Vaults. It was Vaults, yeah.
So we were trying to go in.
Options nearby as well.
Is there?
There was a place called Options.
I never had many options in Kingston. Anyway, so we're trying to get into Vaults a few years ago, and Matt Powell, we mentioned him last week, the old Quinn's Worcester Sarri scrum half. We get to the door and they say, "You're not coming in, mate." And he gets turned away a lot because he body bags himself on the piss. But it's always generally good news when he gets turned away because we haven't got to look after him anymore. So we never, ever stay with him. But they say, "You can't come in, mate, not because you're too drunk, but because you've got trainers on." And he says, "Oh right, no problem. Come back in 5 minutes." And it's like 11 at night, so we're thinking, "Well, he's gone."
Yeah.
5 minutes later, at the bar, and he pops up. "What are you having, boys?" I'm like, "How'd you do that?" And he's like, "Oh, I just sorted some shoes out." Okay, so we don't think anything of it. We'll have a few. So the next morning, we all go back to his house because he's at Brunel University in West London. We sleep on his horrible little student house. So I wake up on the sofa, and he's on the sofa as well. And he's, he looks down, and he's just got these two absolutely rank, totally mismatched shoes on. So one is a, he's like a size 10 feet. One would be a size 9 or 10. The other one would be 13 or something. Looks like a clown's foot.
Yeah.
One's got no laces in. They're both got holes in, and they're completely threadbare. And I just said, "Mate, what are those shoes?" He goes, "Oh yeah, I got in last night. I swapped them with a tramp around the corner." "What?" He swapped his shoes with a tramp. And he goes, I said, "Mate, so a tramp's got a pair of Nike Air Maxes." "Yeah, yeah." "Got me in though." He goes, "Yeah, I swapped my socks as well for some reason." He didn't have to swap his socks. He took his shoes off. And the socks, mate. He thought, mate, his shoes were bad. The socks, mate. Holy moly.
You can't have white socks and shoes on. Like Rob Sidoli. That was his...
Yeah, that's bad times.
That was his go-to.
That's Michael Jackson. Yeah, he wanted to do that. And remember Paul Robinson, Stephen Dennis, who was Paul Robinson in Neighbours?
I remember him, yeah.
I think he was Jason Robinson's brother. Jason Donovan's brother, wasn't he, or something? Anyway, he was in...
Was he something to do with Helen Daniels? Was it...
Helen Daniels. Wasn't he Helen Daniels' grandson or something?
Jim Robinson's son.
I know that he often had lunch at Lassiter's.
Yes.
I know that.
That is right. That is true.
And I know that he had business relations with Mr. Udigawa. Remember him?
No.
Right. So he was in there that night, and you know, he's getting, people are tapping on the shoulder and say, "You're from Neighbours," and he's kind of getting a bit whatever. And we say, we were going over and having some fun, probably being nauseous actually. We were, certainly weren't being rude or anything like that. And in the end, he just basically, he turned around and just shooed us. He was with a couple of girls, and he just shooed us like dogs.
Yeah.
Like, just piss off, boys, and like flicked his fingers away. And it was really annoying. So we were like, we're not actually being rude. We're having a bit of fun. And the girls he's with, they're finding it fun. Like, we're being nice.
Everyone's loving it by him.
Everyone's loving it by him. And so we just thought, that is a little bit tossy what you've done there, Chief. So we're in this nightclub. It's boiling hot because it's a nightclub. We're all really hot. And he's got this, like, cream, one of those heavy knit roll necks on. Like, it's a proper winter farmer's... The sort of thing you see in a catalogue. Order yourself one. Never wear it. Because it's too hot.
Apart from now, maybe, at Christmas time.
Unless you're, or unless you're fishing in the North Sea.
Yep.
Right, so he's in vaults, and I said, he looked at him, boys are like, what a tosser. I was like, yeah, boys, the heavy knit's got to go. So it went, and he went full skins in vaults for a little bit, not in great nick.
Really?
Anyway, really bad nick. Rubbish, just average nick, like a shopkeeper. So we got kicked out, but it was like 2:30 anyway. So
you want to go home anyway? Good excuse.
Beat the queues for kebabs and taxis. It was perfect.
I remember Vodka Revs. In Cardiff.
Yeah, lovely spot actually.
Matt Gitto's
favourite.
Yeah, loves it. And Craig Bellamy was in there. And
he was Bellas.
In Bellas, yeah, to his mates.
Mm. Bellend.
So childish, mate. Grow up. So he was in there with his mates, and like any big footballer name like that, you've got to go out with your mates to protect you, you know, otherwise you're just gonna get hassled and gnawed to death.
Yeah.
So he's got his mates, his minders, his crew with him.
Any of his mates have tattoos?
No, but they were like...
Must have had.
They were like top button done up, so like the invisible ties.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where's your tie, mate? Is it invisible?
Yeah.
Like Preston.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know what I mean.
I know, I really
So they were there, they were in a booth, and he was getting a lot of attention.
They were in a Toby, were they?
Yeah. They were in a Toby booth, and getting a lot of attention from everybody, and you could see it was a bit of a nightmare for him. He just wanted to relax, have a few beers, be like you when you go out in Bath. And Robin Solon Taylor, mate of mine now, has got a new gym opened in Cardiff, Ion.
What's it called? Ion.
Ion.
Is it really good?
It's like CrossFit.
Yeah.
You'd love it. It's like a what they call it, a shed. Or
yeah, but will it test me aerobically, Tom? That's what I want.
You'd be able to do some shuttles, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's also a nice little circuit around. It's like in an industrial park.
Great.
So it's good. The box is good.
Get run over by a forklift one time. One
Royal Mail.
Apart from that, yeah.
Royal Mail take you out.
Yeah.
And it was one of his mates, and his mate was a massive Liverpool fan and pretty excitable bloke. And you know,
how big was he?
Not big, but
not. I thought you said he's a massive Liverpool fan.
Oh, you're good today, mate. That's where you get the big bucks.
All right.
And yeah. his mate really wanted to go away from him, saying, no, just leave him, leave him. You know, he's trying to enjoy it with his mates. And they've clocked us, we've clocked them, so they know something's going on. They can see one of our mates is real excited to go over there. And we're saying, leave it, mate, leave it, leave it. Just, he's here having a bit of fun with his mates. No one wants to be bothered. He goes, no, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. So he walks over halfway, gets halfway. Bellamy just moves his head to the side and goes, I'm off, mate. Like that. And he just turns around and walks back, head down. Mate.
So he just intercepts your mate and just turns around and says, fuck off.
Yeah, yeah. Devastated.
He was, that is so. I remember it was the West Ham goalkeeper, Rob Green.
Professor?
No. Mister. Anyway, he was in a night out in Galway, we were on once, and he played that day and private jetted over or something, and we were on a stag do, and Dave Barnes had a testimonial going on, and he was hanging off Robert Green, he's hanging off him for like fully 45 minutes.
Who's this?
Dave Barnes hanging off the goalie. It was brutal. And he walked over and I said, is he alright, mate? He goes, mate, he's trying to get me to some fucking dinner. I said, testimonial dinner? He goes, yeah, I've told him I'm going, but I ain't going, mate. And he goes, as long as you boys know, I'm not just going to like book it and not turn up, like we were talking about last week. I just want him to fuck off. So I break it to him. He goes, yeah, but don't make me sound like... I said, no worries, mate. Like, Barnsley, he hates you. Fuck off.
Doing his head in.
Barnsley's like, yeah, all right, mate, yeah. Here's my card, mate. Give us a call, yeah? And the bloke's looking at me like, yeah, mate, and just puts his card on the bar and leaves it. He was a nice fella, actually. Much better bloke than Barnsley.
Me and Bellas and our mates are. I forgot to add that. Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, big mates.
You and Bellend?
Yeah, we see him on... I see him a lot on the Celebrity Pro Golf Circuit around Wales now and again. Loves his golf.
What
good at it as well.
Caddying you?
No, I'm playing.
Is he good at golf?
Yeah, smashing it, mate. 300 yards minimum.
Okay. Mm. But you and Bellas, are you, mate, have you got his phone number?
No, but I can find him on Facebook and I can send him a message on Twitter.
Like a DM?
No, just a message.
Oh.
Hi, mate, can you follow me?
Hey, bro.
Got some work for you.
Hey, bro.
Yeah.
How's things? How's tricks?
What are you up to?
Yeah, so you're not. Okay. If he saw you in the street, would he say, Shanks boy?
Yeah. Shanko, something like that. Shank the tank.
Shank the tank, something
Shankers.
Like that. Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of think you're probably not mates with him, but I also don't see why anyone would claim to be mates with Craig Bellamy when they're not.
It's famous.
Sort of like being mates with Donald Trump, isn't it? On a reduced scale. Like, not known for being the best geezer knocking about, that's what I'm saying.
Have you seen Alex Popham recently? Alex Popham used to play number eight for Scarlett.
And he played centre for Leeds a couple of times.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Have you seen his hair?
Yes.
Looks like Donald Trump.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Noticed that the other day.
Yeah, it does actually. I get the odd email from Alex Popham. He's into the whole business thing, isn't he, in Cardiff and
business development or something or other. I'm not really sure.
I always really liked him when I knew schoolboys and 21s and all that.
It's junk mail, so don't really read it. It's not personal. Hi all. Delete. It's got to say Tom or buddy or pal.
I remember when I finished playing at Bath and worked there, we sent this email out to all season ticket holders.
Yeah.
And it was about something to do with these changes or whatever, but effectively it was good news, right? So I can't remember quite what it was, but it was something on the lines of, you're not going to pay any more for your season ticket, but with your season ticket you also get this, this and this, right? So it was a good deal.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I don't know, it's probably like this at every sports club, but at Bath, I'll tell you now that if you gave everyone, every single supporter, 50 quid cash every time they came to a game, some of them would complain that it wasn't the right notes or the right coins, or it's just life, it's not just sports clubs. So at this season ticket holders event 2 weeks later, and there's all these questions, and you've got like the head coach, like Gary Gold at the time, Mike Ford, Stuart Hooper, Francois Lowe, you know. So it's like you've got all these people, and the first question is woman, and she said, my first question is for David Flatman. And I was sitting there, I was like, I'm not actually on the panel, I'm just working here.
Yeah.
Like, I just organised it, I'm not actually on the panel. Well, my question's for you, do you choose to receive it or not? I said,
Oh, wow.
Yeah, fine. I've been a season ticket holder for 27 years, and I get an email saying, dearest season ticket holder, you should have my name on it. I said, but that'd be 7,500 emails, separate emails. You should have my name on it. And I was like, So in the end, the rule is the customer's always right, be polite. And I was just like, firstly, I think we've set off the evening on the wrong tone. Secondly, I don't think we're ever going to get on. And everyone sort of laughed except her. She didn't let it go. She emailed and emailed and emailed. And then she's like, right, I'm not going to renew my season ticket. So it was kind of like, well, I don't want the club to suffer. But my reply was, fine.
Yeah.
See you around.
You see, you didn't send another email. It's like, too fatty.
I really, really... to Bertha, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, God. Anyway, that's irrelevant. And probably not that interesting, but these people are out there, mate.
To the orca. anyway, today's show. Today's podcast. We are going to be talking about some of the Champions and Challenge Cup results.
Yeah.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Back-to-back games.
Yeah, I like that. A little mini-series, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's like Ireland when they played New Zealand back-to-back. Loved it.
Yeah, but they didn't, did they? They played the Canada in the middle.
Yeah, but you
didn't
know...
Didn't count, did it? Yeah.
Two tests against them. We've got loads to talk about in there, because red cards, yellow cards, ref decisions.
We got told off a bit last week because we forgot to mention Glasgow's win.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit about Alex King going to Wales.
Yeah.
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 We're going to talk a little bit about Sports Personality of the Year award as well.
Yeah, load of balls, that is.
I loved it.
Yeah,
I know balls. You don't like it, but I liked it.
Waste of time.
Yeah. So, and also, we've got a special guest on the phone, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, we didn't manage to get Nigel Owens. He was a little bit busy.
He was stuck in Barry. Third time we've done that on these podcasts. We've only done about 15 of them.
We did really try and get hold of him, but he's busy filming and doing whatnot. He's obviously he is a fairly big name. He's well sought after. So he says he's going to come on in January. We hope it, but I think we've done a pretty good in our second guest.
Yeah.
Mm.
Should
we tell him who it is?
You better.
Okay. We've only gone and got Mr. Will Carlin on the phones. So we're going to be chatting to him about what he's up to now, what his thoughts are on England.
Dyeing his hair.
Has the game gone soft? How he keeps incredibly fit.
Yeah. What he does, like what he does day to day, because no one knows.
No.
He's like an enigma. And what his favourite book is.
Yep.
Be nice, wouldn't it?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So we better start off with Glasgow's result. We got a bit of a tunnel off for not mentioning them last week. Back-to-back results against Racing Metro.
Yeah.
Finn Russell, outstanding.
Swagger, class, talent, confidence.
Takes the ball flat, pace, straight through gaps, gets back line going.
Cute kicking game.
One to watch now for the Six Nations. He's obviously going to play for Scotland.
Yeah.
Huge, huge 6 months for him coming up. And you know, if he has a good Six Nations, I reckon he'd be on that plane.
Yeah. I watched Glasgow and thought, especially in the first half, I thought there are five or six players in that Glasgow team alone, let alone the Scotland team, the Glasgow team alone, I think not only could but should be on the British Lions touring squad. So
if they can keep their form up through the Six
Nations.
Yeah,
of course. On current form, that's what I'm saying. And if they maintain it, but they're playing well for a couple of seasons now.
Yeah.
But you've got, you know...
they're always there, thereabouts.
Fagus and the tight head. He's 20 years old. You know, he's doing really, like Furlong in Ireland, doing really well. But the obvious, there are obvious ones in there. Bennett, Johnny Gray, Stuart Hogg and Finn Russell. Ferguson looks really promising, as I said. But
Tommy
I think,
Seymour on the wing.
Tommy Seymour on the wing. But I think Fraser Brown at hooker...
Really?
...is a really, really good player. And I don't know Ross Ford, so I can only assume that he is a top-of-the-range leader and captain, because I think for a while now, or a little while, Fraser Brown has been the more... the player with a bigger impact in matches. And I watch every time he comes on, I just think that... Why are they not picking this guy? For me, he's a level ahead of Ross Ford, and that's quite an aggressive thing to say about a 100-cap international, but I do think it's true. Maybe his darts aren't great, but as far as I'm aware, they're not that bad, and Ross Ford's aren't immaculate. Very few hookers are. So they're both...
Would you say then is the best dart thrower?
The best thrower?
We're not actually talking about darts, by the way. We are talking about throwing the ball in.
It's a lovely question. Dane Coles is good. A lot of that is down to him being a good thrower. A lot of it is down to the lots he's throwing to. So they've always got good line-out options. If you think about a line-out with Retallick, I mean, just look at his body shape.
Okay, who is the best
then
in your
body
day?
Shape plus Jerome Kano. He's a good... So that makes it easier. I'm biased, but Lee Mears is very, very good.
Yeah.
When I say he had the occasional off day, I'm not... Everyone misses a line out. I just can't quite remember an actual off day for him.
Yeah.
Again, he was very, very good, practiced very hard. So very, really diligent, but he also had Steve Borthwick running his line out. And it's... The thing about a good line out caller isn't that he just picks where you're most likely to win the ball, but a really good line out caller knows everyone's roles, everyone's triggers, sort of in attack and defence, but also knows how to be sympathetic to a hooker but get the ball they want. So it's a genuinely complicated role. So the value of a Steve Borthwick isn't that just that he's good at jumping in a line out. So the value is I could walk to a line out behind Borthers.
Yeah.
And I could be knackered.
You weren't jumping, were you?
No. Oh, really? Phew. I could be knackered, I could be new on, I could have been knocked out, because in the old days you know, even for a couple of years ago, you could be dazed and you just get up and walk to
Did you ever take a ball at the front of the line out, like some props do?
Yeah, I did.
Sneaky ones.
Dropped a couple. You'd walk in with Borthers and you'd say, Borth, what's my trigger? Or leave me out of it, call something else, leave me out of it. And he'll leave you out for a thing, for a line out or in defence. Anyone in the line out can ask Borth what the trigger is. So I could be in the middle of a line out.
Yeah.
So I'm playing at loose head, but I used to be generally defending in the middle of the line out because I could lift front or back. I was just keen to stick my head in, so I was useful in the middle. So I'd be in the middle and I would have certain triggers to look at. So if it's a 6-man line out, I stand here. So you walk in, count the numbers. The one rule is you don't leave it all to Borthers. You don't leave it to Borthers to count the numbers. We can all count. Count the number 6. I stand there. These are the 3 triggers I'm looking for. So if the tight head opposite me, we've learnt all this during the week, if he loops around to the back, then it's a dummy. I stay where I am and I lift at the front. He's trying to throw me off. If he actually looks round to the back, so doesn't loop around but moves his eyes around, because he does it because he's not, he doesn't back the timing. He has to cheat a look. I watch his eyes, and that's when it's actually going to the back, because he'll loop last minute. So I've got all these triggers, but I'll arrive at a line out and I'll say, boof, 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 boof. What are my triggers? He'll say, tight head. Feet move, you stay. Eyes move, you go. Things like that. And then Gruy, someone else will come in and say, boy, boy, someone chinned me or whatever it is, I'm warming up. What are my triggers? And he'll say 4. He said Nick Kennedy, for example, he'll say, watch his right hand. If it goes down by his hip, get up. Goes up by his shoulders.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're giving it the come on. Then you wait, you take a step back, and then you go up and you gamble. And all this sort of stuff. And then someone else will come in and Borth would know everyone's drills. This is all in 10 seconds. And you just think, like, that is why someone like that gives you so much good ball. And then for a thrower, it's just gold to have somebody like that, because he'll get you hands in free space more often than anyone else.
I generally wish I never asked that question now. I can't remember anything now going on. I was just nodding and going, yes. You're talking about looping and watch my hand. 3, round the back, loop, tired.
Yeah.
I just like it when props like dummy the front and have to turn and run back. Like the QE2 turning or something like that. So Lee Mears was the best
I must be being biased there.
But you played most of your rugby with Mearsy, didn't you?
I played Mearsy when we were kids all the way through. George Shooter, who we played, you and I played for a couple of years, but he spent most of his career at Leicester. Very, very good thrower. Very, very good. Again, he worked with a good line out. It's not mitigating this thing. He was a very good thrower. With Benny Kay, who, although he wasn't, he's obviously a very big man, he wasn't super light like Borthers to lift up, but his timing was amazing. Like, he's actually quite reasonably heavy to lift because he's so big boned, but his timing was amazing.
You know Ian Evans?
Yeah.
Ian Evans, second row for Wales. He's now at Bristol.
Yanto, you call
Yanto,
him.
Yanto. Ospreys were playing Leicester in Heineken Cup, and Yanto was going, I got the one with the marigolds on. I got the one with the marigolds on. He's referring to Ben Kay and those orange gloves he used to wear. He's going with the marigolds. But anyway, talking about on RAS and Metro, it's just come out that...
We're not finished on that yet.
We're not finished on throwing.
Just two more things, not throwing, okay. Two more things I've thought of. One is that we were playing for Bath against Leicester, and Graham Rowntree was at the front. And I was saying, give us a gap. And I gave him a little push, and he gave me a push back. And I said, get him out of the way. And the ref said, Wig, because everyone calls him Wig.
Yeah.
I think it's because he looks a wig on. I said, Wig, come on, Wig. Wig, move out of the way, Wig. And Graham Rowntree turned around. I forget who the ref was. I think
Spreaders.
Ashley Rowden. No, I think it was Ashley Rowden. And he turned around and he said, that's Mr. Rowntree to you. To the ref. I love that. He hated him. The other one was playing against Newcastle, up at Newcastle. Davey Wilson's debut for Newcastle.
Yeah.
And he came on and he looked like a, you know, like his eyeballs were popping out of his head in the line out. And everyone's like manning up. And Borth was like, Flats, who have you got? And I said, I got the fat prick who doesn't know the calls. And he's like, what? So this guy, I got the fat, but this kid don't know the fucking calls. And David looks at me and says, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. He's like, he was panicking. Anyway, yeah, Racing.
But yeah, better Racing. Johan Goosen.
Goosen. Can we just call him Goosen for now?
It's Miles Beller.
I don't
know. What he calls himself Hoosen, does he?
Hoosen. I don't know. Everyone's like Hoosen. But it's like.
Plus Hoosen.
Goosen's better.
Well,
I'd love to be called Goosen. That'd be my name of choice.
It sounds like he's from Top Gun.
Yeah, or it sounds like he's a bit naughty in nightclubs. Mm. Anyway.
He's just recently come out and apparently he's withdrawn his statement now about him leaving Racing Metro to take up some sort of commercial role back in South Africa.
A fake role.
Yeah, Racing are going to take him to court. He's 24 years old, which is very strange considering he was voted top 14 player of the year last year.
Although I heard a bit of chat, Shanko.
Yeah,
I heard a bit of chat.
I love this. Hit me with it.
And it was unverified, but let's call it fact.
Yeah.
It's not fact, it's speculation. And I'm not telling you who told me because I've forgotten. I heard that Dan Carter was voted player of the year, but they fixed it so that Hoosen won it because Dan Carter hadn't played enough, didn't want him to get player of the year. Having not played that much, they gave it to Hoosen. Apparently, it was a stitch-up.
Really?
That's complete gossip. But imagine if it were true.
Well, I saw the weekend, Bundy Aki got man of the match for Connaught.
Yeah.
And then, quite awkwardly, tried to hand over his man of the match trophy to Jack Carty at the end. He's going, it's for you, bro. It's for you.
Because
of the
kick.
You. It's for you. He's going, it's for you. It's for you. And Jack Guy didn't know what to do. He didn't receive man of the match, but Bundy Aki was trying to give it to him, saying,
take it, mate. 20 years from now, when that's in the cabinet, no one will know.
Yeah, true.
Take it.
True.
Yeah.
Didn't think of it like that.
But I used to walk into the changing rooms, and half the lads had those yellow bottles of champagne for Man of the Match and didn't take them. I was like, I love that. I've got like 15 Man of the Matches at home.
Your missus won't know any different, will she?
No idea. She thinks I was great.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Goosen is going to somewhere else.
Well, he wants to. This is what it says in the paper. He is reportedly been offered, I think, €500,000 a year, which I look at. I know money's flying up in rugby, and I'm not bitter about that. I love the fact that boys are getting paid more. I actually genuinely do love it. But he, as long as it's sustainable, he's not a €500,000 player for me. I watched him play a few times, and he's really, really good. But €500,000, keep it serious, Chief. Anyway, Montpellier have come out and offered him €1 million. So he wants to get out of his €500,000 contract with Racing, even though Racing apparently, again, it's all apparently, gave him €400,000 for his parents to buy a farm because they were in financial trouble, so he helped the family out and whatever.
Yeah.
So you never quite know how much of this is balls and how much isn't. Anyway, he allegedly planned to retire, in inverted commas, from rugby at professional rugby at 24. That then releases him from the sort of myriad transfer do's and don'ts, relegations and legislations in the French rugby league. in the top 14. So he's then a retired player. He can then retire for, you know, how long does it take to have a cup of tea, and then come out of retirement and re-sign for Montpellier on all the wedge. So
terror.
If true, that is an absolute tosser
move.
That's
a joke.
It's a tosser move, that is. So firstly, who are your agents, mate? Why are they telling you that's all right? Secondly, who are you and why do you think that's all right? We all want more money. If someone offered me €1 million to go and £1 million to go and do a different podcast, you'd be out. But I'll tell you to your face, all right, Tom? It's just a bum move if it happens. But the other little bit of spice in there, that it's Altrad, the owner of Montpellier, who's offered him all this money. He has also been linked with Gloucester. So he's talking about buying a majority share, in Gloucester Rugby, the same guy that owns Montpellier, right? So now there's talk, now there's chat that perhaps he will get Goosen to come and play at Gloucester until the 18 months has expired where he's not allowed to play at Montpellier, then ship him back to Montpellier, maybe not. But do Gloucester want to be in bed with a bloke who's willing to do a deal like that with
a mercenary? That's what he'll end up being.
Yeah, they want to be in bed with the player or the owner. I mean, do you want that guy owning your club who do stuff like that and just shaft another club in front of everyone?
I'd rather be in bed with Little Mix.
Yeah, I would actually. Have you just seen something with Little Mix written on it? Where did that come from?
Oh, my kid's been playing it all day.
Oh, right, yeah.
Shout out to my ex.
I'd rather be in bed with Little Mix, actually. But, you know, it's just mucky, mucky, mucky. Yeah. And what the end result could, whatever happens to him in France, I mean, frankly, who gives a toss? It's just good fun to talk about. But what could end up being interesting is this Altrad character who is a, what I would call respectfully, a proper French rugby club owner.
Yes.
Buying Gloucester out and taking over Gloucester. That could be carnage.
This is just speculation. Okay, so this is not fact, but this is...
And it's Monday afternoon, so loads of stuff could come out by the time you listen to this.
This is just a theory. This is just a theory.
It's gossip.
It's a bloody
gossip.
Good one, though, mate. I like it. But brings us on to Connacht. So Connacht beat Wasps.
Yeah.
Last minute.
Dodgy.
It's a real good game, actually. Really good game. Wasps were leading by 5 points. They were playing the ball out of their own half, picking and going. There was a minute left on the clock, so it was just close quarter stuff. Props taking it up, going down, recycling.
Beautiful.
Bang on, something like 79 minutes, 58 seconds, a penalty is awarded to Connacht. Wasps holding on in the ruck.
Yeah.
80 minutes is up on the clock now. Clock's still ticking away. Referee says no time for a line out. And then John Muldoon comes into the ref and says...
Dooners.
Comes into the ref and says, new laws say we can go for the line out and you give it to us. And the ref says, yeah, that's fine. Now, Jerome Garces, who was the ref, went off about 5-10 minutes earlier with a pulled hammy.
Did he?
Yeah.
Poor bugger.
Didn't stretch out properly.
Poor bugger.
Didn't stretch properly.
Dehydrated. It's all nutrition, isn't it?
Probably went straight onto the field, start kicking the ball. You got to warm up first.
Is he French?
Yeah.
Red wine before kickoff, wasn't it?
Probably. And bread.
Dehydrate. Bloody hell.
I know.
Someone can work with him. Yeah.
So the referee says, yep, you're quite right, and kick the ball to the corner. Driving line out, goes over, drawing.
TRY time, Eddie.
TRY time. And it's 18 points all. Jack Carty comes up, who kicking last week was pretty average. Slots it from the corner.
Owen slots it.
Wrong side, over, Wasps win. Well, when they shouldn't have been given the lineup, but
because
that rule comes into play next year, literally next year. So was that good captaincy by John Muldoon? Jedi mind trick, isn't it?
Let's give him. You want to go home and reevaluate your life. Let's give him the benefit.
These aren't the droids
the
you're looking for. Move along.
Yeah, let's give Muldoon the benefit of the doubt.
But Wasp has yet to make a statement yet, so we don't know what they're saying.
What are they going to say? I mean, done. I mean, let's give Muldoon the benefit of the doubt. He probably heard that. I mean, I don't know. We just don't know, do we? The referee should know. He should know that. The fact that he wasn't expecting to actually be refereeing isn't a good enough excuse. But it's like Nigel Owens forgetting Gareth Steenson's name. It's like, you know.
Do you know what happened in.
They can't remember everything, can they?
2007, Wales are playing Italy in Italy, and Alfie was our captain at the time. We're losing the game. We got a penalty. Alfie says to Chris White, the ref, if we kicked a touch, can we have the line out? He says yes. We kicked a touch. James Hooks kicks a touch. Ref blows up. Game over.
Yeah, but he's English. Hates you.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. But and then Alfie was all his hat. He's doing all his hand gestures and stuff. Going, what am I going to tell the boys? What am I going to tell the boys?
Why did it in a camp voice?
Wasn't. It's an accent. So yeah,
it is. And I mean, I've said that the ref can't remember everything, can he? The ref should remember that. It's his fault. And
that's a pretty common law.
Yeah, it is. So it's his fault, but the replacement referee, but my punishment to him would be a ruffle of his hair and say, you silly old bugger.
A wedgie.
Learn them laws, look.
Maybe a bloody wedgie.
It's right, you're getting the first round in, you bugger.
I literally mean a bloody wedgie, you know, so you get blood. They hurt.
Surely no pants are strong enough for that.
Some are.
Mames.
Oddballs aren't.
Yeah, I remember Andy Beattie wearing, I think it was Prince Harry's torn, like the elastic band from around the top of Prince Harry's boxer shorts at Mike Tyndall and Zara Phillips' wedding after Prince Harry nuggeted my tie and Beast dropped him and wedged him on the floor in front of Princess Anne. Is that name droppy enough for you?
Very good, mate, that is.
Beast had it round his head.
Different gravy, isn't it? Well, yeah. People you hang around with. I was going to say, my mate Bubs had his pants ripped off. On the bus.
No, Harry's better. I think it was Prince Harry. I mean, I will confirm that for next week because I don't want to start making allegations of assault against the royal family if they're not true.
You ever played the game, there's only five on the back seat? I was saying there's only five on the back seat.
Yeah, take the back seat. Yeah.
My mate Bubs tried to take it for about an hour and a half.
Yeah, but he's a bit overweight and he couldn't, he would have to go sideways.
His pants came off. The oddball pants, you know, the boxers.
Charity.
Everyone supports.
Yeah.
Very, very good for ripping off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Probably three or four tugs. They're out of there.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know.
So, I watched Blues Bath the weekend, or Bath Blues.
Yeah.
You versus that. Me.
I watched that.
Obviously, Blues won the following week. The week before.
Bath battered them.
Battered them.
Yeah.
Batty. Battered him.
Batty, brilliant.
Good try that, wasn't it?
Yeah, he used to be a centre, Ross Batty.
There was a question from one of the listeners. Would Flats have managed to make that?
If I was at full, like, peak fitness, when I was at my fittest, probably like when I was about 18.
But I've seen you on the track, mate, to be fair.
You saw me beat George Shooting in 150.
Yeah.
If I was absolutely fully fit and fresh, so not 70 minutes into a game, and I was playing against under 12s, I still wouldn't score that.
It was from at Bath Bites.
I know Bath Bites.
Yeah, trod them for a crack and try. Front row.
I know his real name, mobility. But I'm not going to reveal it.
Could Flats keep up with modern day front rowers?
No. No, I think no, I couldn't. But I think every prop thinks this, and you do. These guys get stronger and stronger and stronger. And if you're wondering if I could keep up with, the best way to answer that question is to just Google my name for a picture of me on the touchline with like a TV, a microphone in my hand, so what I look like now, and then go onto Max Lahiff's Instagram account, see what he looks like now.
Yeah.
And it's a completely different ballgame.
No comparison.
These guys are specimens. Nathan Catt, Nick Autorak, Max Lahiff are the Bath props. They play the position I used to play, and they are
Mario Toji's cousin?
Benno Urbano.
His quads.
Quadzilla.
Mate,
he went to my school. Mate,
I've not seen anything like him.
My school is not the school I went to. I went only went there for 2 years, but we applied there. They originally said no because my grades weren't good enough. Mum and dad, literally, this isn't a sob story, sold both their cars to pay my first year's fees.
Sold both their Ferraris.
They sold an old Shogun.
Yeah.
And a 5-year-old Beamer. They sold. There you go. That's fact. So my dad drove a 2CV to London every day from Kent so I could drive there, go to this school. So they didn't import players, that's what I'm saying. Everyone there had been there since the day dot. The amount of prop forwards they have introduced for a non-importing school into the Premiership is unbelievable. Andy Mullins, you won't remember him, played for England, played for Quins.
Why is that then, mate?
I don't know. There was me, John Dawson, Andy Sheridan, Tom Mercy. There's another lad at Sarries, I've forgotten his name, completely forgotten his name, which is bad. There's Benno Urbano. There are loads. There are like five or six more props who have been in the Premiership the last few years that came from my school. Must be the dinners.
Yeah, what are they feeding you?
I know. House bricks.
Baby pigs.
Yeah.
Suckling pigs.
Yeah. naughty children.
There was obviously a controversial red card in that. George Earl got sent off, fingers in the eye.
Well, contact with the eye area of Tom Ellis.
Yes. Yeah. What were your thoughts on that? See, I thought that it was a red card. A very, very soft red card, but still, fingers made contact with the eye. He's down pushing. His head is down pushing. He's grabbing over. His hands come up around head height. He's felt ahead, and he's got like a claw-like grip in his hands. And for a split second...
Which he had anyway, before
which
that.
Is split, yeah, but for a split second, his finger enters the eye. Now, why would you have your hand up that high anyway when the ball's at the back of the ruck? That's my point, is his whole hand was a lot higher than his body. It wasn't like he was grappling over the front. His hand comes up sideways, makes contact with the eye. It's dull. It's a red card. One of the softest red cards I've ever seen, but correct in terms of the law.
Yeah, so letter of the law, that's your point. My point is... gouging isn't cool, should be sent off and banned for it. That's not gouging. So contact with the eye area, I don't like as a description. I think gouging the eyes of an opposition player, fingers going in deliberately, is different from contact.
So fingers weren't straight, mate. They weren't just flickering across his face.
He's pumped, he's ripping and gripping, he's trying to rip his way through, he's grabbing anything he can, he hits the face, the two things that don't influence my decision are he's not that kind of player. Who gives a toss? That's not the point.
He wasn't looking.
Yeah, who hasn't got the point? Also, the thing that is irrelevant to me is, well, you send him off and that completely ends the game as a contest. So what? If you gouge someone, you end the game as a contest.
Do you think it was a red card?
No, I don't. Okay. No, I think it's soft. I think I don't see what the red card achieved. The red card is a bigger deterrent than what I'm going to suggest. But I think if the ref gets him over and says, have a look at what you've done, look at the big screen, don't be an idiot. And then he gets Tom Ellis over and says, I don't think it was deliberate. Don't be an idiot. Like, you're near the face. Have a think of what you're doing. Don't keep your head down. But look where you're grabbing.
In terms of bans that have been already... players that have already been banned for contact with the eye.
Yeah.
He'll get severe. I think he'll get quite a big ban for that.
He'll get a ban. But half the ones that have been banned before have been soft as well. So
yeah.
I think that, you know...
I think the eyes... It's not your mouth. It's not your ears. It's your eyes. You know, they're pretty vital organs. And it's quite easy to...
Are they organs? Things,
I don't know what they are. They could be.
What are they? Let
us know if you know what they are. Anyway.
I agree. Gouging is... But red card banning.
It's momentarily in his eye and his fingers aren't straight. I think he knows that his hand is hitting the face. Yeah. Mm, it looked like
maybe,
that to me.
Maybe.
It was dull, but...
I watched it and thought, ah, come on. And his reaction is... Again, irrelevant because he could be acting.
Mm.
But, you know, if we're just gossiping, we're speculating here, I look at that and think that is not the angry reaction of someone who thinks I've done something stupid. Like when you saw, you know, aggressive players we played with get sent off for knee dropping, stamping, punching.
Yeah.
They know. They might shake their head, but they know. So, you know, Dylan Hartley it looked like he hated himself for getting sent off last week. But he knew he'd whacked the guy in the head because he'd seen the big screen, and while it may not have been deliberate, he knew he did it,
yeah,
and knocked the guy out. So he hates it. He just says, "Oh, for Christ," and just goes. This guy actually is just livid on the way off because he's like, "I haven't done anything wrong." So it's not all about the reaction, because people celebrate tries that haven't been scored and all that. But again, it's a little bit games gone softy type stuff.
So it moves us on to Scarlets Toulon. Did you see that result coming?
Yeah.
22-21?
Yeah.
You saw it coming?
Oh, I thought did I see it come in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had 50 quid on that. No, I don't bet very much. So, no, I didn't see that coming.
Nor did I. Nor did I.
Were you happy about it?
Yeah, really happy. Mm.
You look it.
We said...
You should see the grin on his face. Look at him.
He's like so a Cheshire happy. Cat, isn't he?
He's so happy.
Yeah, especially after last week when we sort of said on the podcast that... You look at those two teams, it was just men against boys, a different size shape and a different sizes compared to Toulon. Mm-hmm. The Scarlets was very clear to see. But for them to come back from last week and win that by a point was incredible. Hadley Parks, you wouldn't have heard too much about him, mate. He's a Kiwi guy. He's been over for a couple of years. He's been one of the Scarlets' best players for a long time now. He was class.
I haven't heard a lot about him, okay? You don't know.
Okay.
I haven't, as it happens. I'm just saying, don't assume.
Yeah, okay. Makes an arse out of you and me.
Yeah.
Scott Williams.
Oh, yeah.
You bloody love him.
He's well good, isn't he?
Yeah. He was man of the match. Great try, which is good for him, good for Scarlets, good for Wales.
Yeah.
Because he's got the shirt at the moment.
Yeah.
So he was good. Ken Owens was good. There's a young winger called Steph Evans.
Yeah, I really like Ken Owens, by the way. I think he's really good.
The cannonball, the
really
sheriff.
Good player.
Yeah.
The sheriff, they call him, do they?
Yeah. Yeah, he's very good carrier, isn't
very
he? Very
player,
mobile.
Yeah. Tough as well.
But is this the end of the Toulon dominance, do you reckon? Because they had a brilliant team out still. You know, they still had Marnonu, they still had Bassero, they still had Halfpenny, and Halfpenny actually had a kick last minute to win it. It was a long kick. He didn't quite hit it right. He missed a few kicks in the game as well, which is unlike him. And he will probably whip himself for that.
Yeah,
he's intense.
Did I say castrate? I didn't mean castrate himself. I meant castigate himself. Oh, what's castigate?
He's already done first.
Anyway, oh right. I hope he hasn't. I do think it's the end of Toulon's dominance. I think they'll still win lots of big games. They'll still win more than they lose and all that, because you just do when you spend that money. But the more their recruitment goes on, the more it looks like the great team they assembled, which was a load of good players, which is easy, but happened to be a load of great blokes as well. The more it goes, more time goes on, it looks like that was just a lucky accident that they assembled a load of great characters, because now it seems like they'll just sign anyone. There's some great guys there, but there are great guys, I've heard rumours, that are looking to get out and are willing to work pretty hard to get out of there, because the vibe is dying.
I'm available. Sign me.
I do think that my limited experience with Mike Ford as a coach, I won England tour, but I was at Bath when he was coaching the first team and all that. I was working there, not playing. Is that he's a very good coach and he coaches a really good style of rugby. So when you've got that much talent at your disposal, I think there's every chance they will do well. But I think that sort of the Carl Heyman, Johnny Wilkinson type Bond era, all that stuff, the vibe, the team spirit they had, I think that it turns out that came about more through luckily assembling great characters, as opposed to focusing on that. And that is how I do think you build it. So I don't know. I don't expect to see them winning lots and lots of Champions Cups over the next few years.
Ulster couldn't back up last week's performance against Claremont. Claremont came back strong.
Yeah.
Nick Abendon has scored.
He's the man.
Playing on the left wing. I know you rate him very highly.
He's the man.
You always have.
Yeah. See, the try he scored against Ulster last week, no one spoke about that. Pierre Tau's better. His tries are better, so everyone speaks about that, which is fine. Abendon's try, he gets bashed. I think it's bashed by a prop on an inside line. He just bounces off and keeps going under the post, and everyone just says, Abendon with the score. And it's like, he's boxing off props here, like he's major.
John Roberts on Twitter, Claremont's here in the Championship Cup finally, ? Nick Abendon shout for the Lions? No. Very good player, but has to be playing for England to get in the shout. Gone are the days where you bring an uncapped, or not an uncapped, but an outsider in. I think Will Greenwood was the last one, wasn't he? Wasn't capped in 97.
Yeah. You see,
so young.
I don't know, I mean, he's good enough to go on the Lions trip. He's good enough. He could go out there and dominate. But my point is, I don't think they'll pick him.
Okay.
Should they pick him? There aren't many players I'm biased about, but just played so much with him. I know how good he is. I think he's just a genius. He's a genius rugby player. I don't say that lightly. He is genius.
We'll have to skip through the rest. Right, Northampton, I've got next to that.
Yeah.
WTF.
Northampton get a load of grief because they got pumped by Leinster because they put out, rested a load of players.
Well, did they rest them, or were they actually dropped because they were so poor the week before? And
no.
you have to do something to those players. You know, if you have a poor performance and you drop a lot of first team players as a result of that performance, you're bringing new players in who aren't going to be as good. So, do you think they were rested, or do you think?
I think they were rested because they're under serious pressure as a team. But more than that, their coaching team. So people are now talking about Jim Mallander getting the sack and Dorian West getting the sack. And whether that's true or not, whether that happens or not, don't know. I never really like talking about all that stuff, really. But I think they have said, we have to win our next Premiership game. We have to win it. So let's rest some guys. We might take a tumping and get hammered in the short term publicly, but we've got to win Friday night.
Okay, last one. Really results that were close were Leicester and Munster. Owen Williams.
Yeah.
Boom, the kick over at the
end. I was there. It was brilliant.
He's a good player, isn't he?
Yeah, very, very good. Super cool. And when he kicked the goal from 50-odd metres, he just picked up the tee, winked at the physio. The water boy brought his tee and winked at him, like, easy as that, mate.
It's cool, isn't it?
I interviewed him after the game. Surprisingly tanned, although he is Welsh, so they can get a tan anywhere. It seemed to suck the sun out of the Leicester sky, but actually much better looking up close than I thought. And I thought to myself, if he's single, he'll be carving up on Tinder.
That's what I get.
You get that?
Yeah, much better looking in person.
You don't get that?
No, you're right. But he was good, yeah. And we'll talk about him a little bit later on. There's some questions regarding him.
Are there?
And the Welsh team, yeah.
Okay. Tommy, I think it's time now to stop meandering and mucking about and to get on the phone to my mum's 8th favourite rugby player ever.
I better be in that top 8. Yeah?
Let's call him.
Okay. William David Charles Carlin, 51 years old, according to Wikipedia. Born in Bradford-on-Avon.
Really?
Yeah, which is ironic because that's where we are recording from right now.
Ah.
5'11". Height not width, 90 kg weight, which is quite generous. Position was centre come sub. 13 years at the mighty Quins, 72 caps for England, youngest ever captain to captain his country at 22 years old, led England back to back Five Nations Grand Slams in 91, 92, British and Irish line in 93, touring New Zealand. It's only bloody Will Carlin.
Oh, Will, hi Will.
What a guy.
Did you enjoy that?
Well, I thought you were going to go on for a bit longer. There's plenty more. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you just had to cut it down.
I
could go on.
I thought it was your 50th birthday the other day, not your 51st.
Yeah, I'm going to play. The sad thing is, I'm so bloody old, I have no idea. And then someone said to me, no, you're 51. I'm like, am I?
Couldn't tell by your hair colour, mate, at all. There's no greys there, is there?
No jealousy here, is there?
Can we Will? Can we get this out in the open? Because
bitterness is not a nice trait. What?
Many a time behind your back, I've told people that you dye your hair.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm in your corporate suite at Twickenham, I don't say it. But whenever I'm anywhere in a room that you're not, I tell everyone that you do.
I've heard that.
Can we clear this up? Do you?
Yeah. No.
Not at all.
Really?
No. I was in. But the worst bit was, I was getting my hair cut. About 6 months ago, and this guy, which was slightly uncomfortable, was running his hands through my hair. And then
was he a hairdresser or just someone passing by?
I think he. I don't think he worked there at all. He had sort of leather. Anyway, no, we won't go there. And then he sort of goes, "So, Will, do you dye your hair?" And I looked at him and I went, "Do I what?" And he said, "Well, it's just, you know." And I went, "You're a hairdresser, you just cut it. Do you think I'd dye my hair or not?" And he went, "Well, no." I said, "Well, why did you ask then?" It was like, the thing is, if I grow my beard, it goes grey.
Yeah.
But for some reason, there is not a lot up top. So
congratulations.
I'm sticking to that story anyway.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
So let us know, what are you up to these days now that you've jacked in, playing for England, Quins, the captaincy? What
does your week look like now?
What do you do, man?
Mainly eating. Mm. Eating is takes a large part of the day. Mm. Then a bit of sleeping, and then a tiny bit of work. Actually, events. We do events, and we're hoping to launch quite a few new cycling events next year. Which means after Christmas, I will actually have to cut down eating quite a lot. Otherwise, the whole cycling thing, although quite effective downhill, really is just not very effective uphill when you're carrying that much weight.
So you've been a keen cyclist for a long time, haven't you? But you're going to make that into sort of proper, people can come and ride with you, yeah, but ride with other sort of folks.
Like a corporate trip.
Yeah.
With the pros, there's going to be a whole, almost like a corporate club. So yeah, there are pros there, cycling pros and Jiffy, surprisingly.
Oh, Jesus.
But no, so there will be professionals. It's quite exciting. So
yeah,
there's quite a lot to it, but we shall see. But then I think I need to slim down a little bit.
Can I come, mate? Can I come on one?
No.
Are you worried about cardiac arrest?
No, I wouldn't be worried about that at all. That would be mildly amusing. But it's like there's certain categories you'd have to fall into, which would either be, you know, a good cyclist, you know, the right shape, or famous.
That is true, right? Because I mean, I've done a little bit of work at your hospitality you've got in the Will Carlin room at Twickenham before, yeah, where you get a lot of people up on stage. I did it a couple of years ago. Well, 4 years ago, I think. I've not been invited back since.
Oh, awkward.
Which is very awkward. But Flats does a lot for you, doesn't he, in the room?
Yeah. And
I thought it was a Legends room.
Sort of, it is quite awkward that you two feature quite high on that list because yours, Shanks, was just inappropriate language and content of story in a mixed high-end corporate facility.
Yeah.
Having been warned.
Good.
And Flats is just, he does the same old pretending that no one knows him, thinking that they do, goes down that whole, you know, self-deprecating line, but actually has failed to look at the audience who don't actually fucking know who he is. And so the story falls completely flat, and he does it every time, which is just, it is getting slightly embarrassing. I mean, everyone on the stage sort of laughs politely for him, but it's like, hurry along.
I do appreciate, though, Will, is that on the itinerary, and everyone's itinerary for their big corporate day at your suite at Twickenham is the Legends Q&A. And yeah. I like the way that you now introduce it as, can all of our legends come up and Flats?
Yes, I know.
I like that. I'm more comfortable with that.
Well, also, I think the other thing that we need to do is get you up early because you tend to get wedged between the chairs on the way up. So there's quite a delay waiting for you to get there as well. And it's not really worth the wait.
You need a foil, though, up there, don't you? Everyone needs a foil. You've got to have someone to pick on.
Yeah. Rob Andrew last time. That was quite easy.
Rob, and I did actually text him after his first appearance against us, the second time, saying, Rob, we need some amusement, some funny stories, and obviously that got completely ignored.
Yeah, you did ask him if he got anything funny to say, and he just said no in front of a few hundred people. No, not really. Yeah. But that was funny in itself, in a way. Will, let's talk about actual rugby union.
Okay.
You are, as someone who's been so heavily involved with England rugby for so long, you take a keen interest and keep a sharp eye on the England team. What's your general feeling around the team at the moment? Because, of course, there's a huge amount going right, but then you can look at certain injuries. You can look at Dylan getting a ban and not being fit until the Six Nations start, or available to the Six Nations starts and all that. So what's your general feeling leading into the Six Nations?
I think they have just surpassed anything I thought that they would manage through this season. I think it's been really, really impressive. More so just like winning the third test in Australia, winning again against Australia in November. Games where I think, you know, they would have been tired or under pressure, they had injuries, and not only have they played some good rugby, but there just does seem to be an edge and a bond in that team, which is very strong. I think there's a belief in there, which is huge credit to the whole coaching team, I think, and alongside Eddie. And Dylan, this part of me thinks it gets a bit of a rest, but actually, I go on a bit of a rant because, you know, so many people, like on Twitter, I know you guys are on there, and it's just, they sort of, everyone was quite pleased with Dylan, you know, unbeaten season for England, and then, yeah, he gets sent off, and the amount of abuse on there, and the bit that really grinds on me is this view that he's meant to be a role model. And role model first and foremost, you go, well, no, my view is he captains England at rugby, and therefore his job is to try and help England win rugby games. And the role model thing is just like, well, shouldn't we as parents be role models to our kids? And don't we communicate with them enough to say, look, actually, you know, he's a sportsman. Sometimes he gets things wrong. When I grew up, we had role models of George Best and Ian Botham. Now, technically, therefore, we should all be completely off the rails. But actually, I think we were bright enough to work out they were incredible sportsmen, brilliant sportsmen, and then parts of their life off the field probably weren't there to be...
weren't that savoury?
Well, or just, you know, you picked and choose if you're going to follow that line. And so I get slightly annoyed with people with that whole idea these days in PC world that sports people have to be role models first and foremost. Well, personally, I'd like my sports people to win at what they do. Okay. And I'm intelligent enough to work out what's good and what's not off the field.
Okay, so you're blaming the parents, right?
What?
You're blaming the parents, right?
I think we always blame the parents. It's sorted then, isn't it?
Dylan's mum is a handful after a couple of pints, to be fair.
Yeah.
I've never met her. I'm joking.
That phraseology, David, is probably not the...
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah. I've landed myself in it. I've never met Dylan's mum. I'm sure she'll love her.
No. Yeah. So, so I think England are in a very good place.
Yeah, which is quite annoyingly...
Yeah, I can imagine.
For me. There's been a lot of like red and yellow cards recently, really soft ones, you know, fingers touching the eyes, people coming off their feet in rucks. What have you made of that? Do you think the game's gone a little bit soft and should we be a little bit worried about current referee decisions?
Well, I don't think the game's gone soft because I don't think players are asking for these rule changes, are they? I think there's an overreaction to concussion, which is very serious and needs to be looked at, but it is a physical contact sport. I wonder, are players ever involved in the decisions, the rule changes? Very unlikely. And I think, as you say, sometimes you can tell, and you can tell by reactions when someone has been gouged. It's fairly obvious to anyone who's played the game. And, you know, if someone is gouged, yeah, it's horrific, then... That should be dealt with. Same with, you know, stamping on the head. But even say Dylan's red card, and we'll say, oh, it's definitely a red card, in the sense that a guy's falling, things happen quickly, and I think, you know, we want people, and then the game, the impacts now at tackles are massive, and there's the whole drive to dislodge, but whatever it is. So I think people just got to be very careful. Otherwise, the sanitisation of the game is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I'd go along with that. Will, one final question, but perhaps the most important question. And take your time to think about it, because we can cut out all the dead time. We won't. We'll leave it in there to make you seem thick. You've read a lot of books, I'd imagine, or you've had them read to you, whatever. Your favourite book of all time, if you had to give a book as a gift, or the one you've enjoyed reading the most, whatever, your favourite book of all time, do you know what it is?
Does this have to be a rugby book?
No, God no.
It'd be Fifty Shades if you want.
Oh dear. I don't really read. I don't think I read rugby books. I mean, you pick them off the shelf, turn to the back, see if you're in them.
check the index.
And if you're not, obviously it's not worth reading. If I'm not in it, it's the book's missed the point, basically. And if I am, I just read those bits and then put the book around. That's it. Thank you.
Will Carling was an absolute bellet. Put this down. This is a crap book. Yeah.
Yeah, what does he know? One that I've read recently, which was pretty amazing, which does make me sound semi-intellectual, is The Better Angels of Our Nature. Have you heard of it?
No. What's that?
Steven Pinker. It's about how the world is basically becoming less violent despite everything the media pumps out there. And it's the whole research and the statistics into how we are developing as humans and we're becoming more just. It is a fascinating book, and it really is. And it goes against everything that's pumped out by the Daily Mail. Surprising, that, really.
Yeah.
And most of the tabloids that, you know, we live in this horrific age. And it was fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
That is interesting. I will, not that it'll interest you, but I always try and...
We do.
Read the books that our guests recommend. And one, it's interesting on that, I've just finished reading a book called The Sun, which is, it's a fictional book. The Sun, as in not the sun up in the sky, but someone's sun. And it basically describes life, you know, midway through the 19th century with Apache Indians scalping the whites and all that sort of stuff, and white people disregarding every other race and butchering them on... whenever they fancy it and whatever. And the impression I was left with overall is that we hear an awful lot about how savage the world is now, but compared with what it was like 150 years ago, it's just, it's incredibly tranquil. So I think we are progressing. It's just all the indiscretions are, you know, they're global within seconds. So hopefully there's hope. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and actually, so all joking aside about all the other bits, you just think it's a nice book to read that just contradicts most of the stuff that is pumped out down news channels, and it just was amazing and quite heartwarming to think, oh, well, at least we are progressing slightly.
Can I recommend a book to you too that I read recently? You know, I read as well.
No, he doesn't. Go on then,
I had to get a mental workout as well now and again. Soldier Spy. It's a really good book. It's about an ex-MI5 operative who gets... is now released into the wild world and doesn't know what he wants to do. He can't put anything on his CV, so he finds it difficult to get jobs. But he tells some great stories about his time with MI5 and some of the spy work he did and some of the cases that you wouldn't have heard about, but he was involved in. It's honestly, it's gripping, mate.
I think I'll, because I always need something read over Christmas, so I will go for that then.
It's very good.
It's got pictures in it as well, because it's one of Shanks's ones, so it's really good.
Yeah, but possibly not the sort of pictures Shanks likes to evening.
No, we can't talk about those.
No.
Willie, it's been great to chat to you. We've really enjoyed it. Thank you for coming on, inverted commas, and yes. Have a wonderful Christmas and love to the whole family from us.
And to you, and I'm welling up in all sorts of ways. Mm. So,
okay.
Hey, it's been fun.
Thanks for the chat. We're both nude. See you soon.
Have a good Christmas.
Thanks, mate.
Bye.
That was a nice chat, wasn't it?
Good, wasn't it?
Yeah, we're going to get him on the show.
Yeah.
Shall we? We have to test them first online and on the phone to check that they're up to it.
Yeah.
His chat was good.
Very good. The main issue is going to be...
Especially for a bloke who's like my old man's age.
Yeah.
My old man's not got chat like that.
No,
he just wants to go to Costco and buy everything in Costco.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to shop anywhere else apart from Costco.
Just wants to wear sandals or white socks. Yeah.
Sure, you don't need anything? No, I'm all right. What about 100 toilet rolls? No, fine, mate.
But
fine.
Will rolls in operates in a different sphere, doesn't he?
Well, you've got to, mate, when you live on in a place called Longacre Farm.
Yeah, is that really something like that?
I made it up.
The biggest issue we're going to have is getting past security at its gates. It's quite hard to get in there, apparently, if you haven't got
really
100 caps. Well, 50 caps, but 150 Welsh caps.
Are his kitchens nicer than Jamie Oliver's?
His kitchen, he's tweeted and Instagrammed a couple of pictures. I think he might well have a nicer kitchen than Jamie Oliver, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I really enjoyed
that
chat.
That's big time, yeah.
Really enjoyed that. So let's talk about some stuff. Sports Personality of the Year is a load of balls. I don't know why you watch it.
I liked it. It just reminds me, mate, of all the good sport we've had through the last year.
Does it?
Yeah. Really good.
Does it?
Andy Murray won. Cracked a joke as well.
Did he?
He was good, mate, right? I don't know where he was. He was out training somewhere. They'd probably paid Lennox Lewis to go over there and present him the trophy.
He's done that before, Lennox Lewis. He presented someone else's once.
Him. Again.
Oh, right. It's his. Oh, right, okay.
Doesn't say anything, mate. Just...
It's bizarre. But last film did it, it was really weird.
Yeah.
Like, why have you got him there?
Yeah, he was just there. He presents it to Andy Murray. Like, Andy Murray likes boxing. He said that. You know, he likes boxing. So it was good for
Lennox. Yeah, but
Lennox,
you wouldn't say
Lewis.
That if you're standing next to Lennox, wouldn't you? Love boxing, mate. Always have. You're the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing a wanker sign when he's not looking. But he was there with a trophy that was blatantly broken. So it's a camera, isn't it? It's an old school camera on top of a solid base, and there was a load of sellotape around it, and he was holding it up. And it was one. Someone had dropped it, basically.
Lennox. Let's blame Lennox.
Yeah, Lennox had dropped it. But he was doing it at the edge of a pool, mate, and there was some actually nice birds sunbathing in the background.
Chicks. Actually, you can.
Chicks.
You can.
They were lying on sun lounges, all waving like that. And he cracked a joke as well.
Was it funny?
It was all right, yeah. He said that his missus actually voted for Will Skelton for Sports Personality of the Year, yeah. Do you know who he is?
Horsey Geezer, isn't he?
Yeah. And he said a bit of a mistake that. Big mistake for her with Christmas coming up.
That's all right.
Yeah, so.
You're right for mother.
As in, he's not going to buy her much, probably just.
9 Rolexes.
Gucci handbags.
And 4 houses.
And a Ferrari or a Porsche.
Yeah.
So he won that, which was good and rightly so.
Have you ever been on that?
Yes.
Did you win?
Yeah, obviously. You don't remember?
No.
Well, I haven't won it 3 times like Andy Murray.
Well, you won it with Wales, is what I mean, when you won Grand Slams and stuff.
Yeah, won loads of them, mate. Oh, God, too many to bloody remember.
Which one was it?
05.
Got it.
First one we won. We're up for Team of the Year. So a few of us went down for that. It was held in Shepherd's Bush.
Shepherd's what?
Shepherd's pubic region in their offices there. And we're up for Team of the Year. So were, unfortunately for us, the England cricket team.
Oh, fix.
Won the Ashes, didn't they?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're never going to beat them, mate.
No,
it's a waste
no.
of diesel going down there.
No, but we did actually go up on stage for a bit and, you know, just point, clap, wave. Pretend to point at someone, wave and clap.
Yeah.
Like
Rocky Balboa running through the streets of Philly.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Yeah.
It was exactly the same. The stairs and everything, there's a big statue at the top. But we were strategically placed around the room and the hall. So some of the boys were sat it's not as big as it is now. When you look at it last night, it was a massive hall. It was full of people. Right. This was a bit like having it in a pub. You know, there were pub tables around the shop.
Yeah.
And there's probably five or six Welsh players, and we're all sat very close together. Mike Ruddock, who was a coach at the time, was just sat in front of Pele. Pele was right behind him. And
so Pele presumably couldn't see much of the event.
He had the bus in front of him.
Yeah, sat behind the bus.
Anyway, Pele went up right, and Pele won something like the Lifetime Achievement Award or something like that. Brilliant. You know, you saw clips and a montage of him. He had a big standing ovation. He said a few words and stuff, and he came back to sit down, and he sat right behind Mike Ruddock in his seat that he was given. And Mike Ruddock, I was just looking at him. Mike Ruddock just doesn't even really look at him, just leans back a little bit, taps the back of his leg a few times, like,
reaches around the back of his chair,
well done boy, like that,
without even looking at him,
and just carried on watching it. It was like your dad would do to you if you cleaned your room or something like that, if you put all your toys away.
Well done, fella.
Yeah, well done boy, well done. Never ever met him before. Pele would not have a clue who he was.
You gave him a little leg tap without even looking.
Just leant back. Well done, boy.
Brutes.
Well done, boy. But team of the year this year, I know, mate, we still laugh about it now.
Oh, but that would have killed me.
We were gone, mate. We were gone. I love tears. Team of the year this year was Leicester City. Happy with that?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a bit of social media angriness.
Because it wasn't GB hockey.
Yeah.
I loved watching them. Loved it. That might have been, in terms of single moments, my sporting highlight, watching that. I was on holiday actually, watching the GB hockey team win that. It was bloody amazing. I loved it. But I think
loved it so much. What was the score?
Oh, no idea.
Yeah, no. Same.
2-0.
I did enjoy it.
I think it was actually 3-2, wasn't it? Anyway, I did watch it. I watched the whole
thing. They won on penalties.
Exactly. But the Leicester City thing, it's the length of the campaign, the odds stacked against them, the budget, never mind the teams, the budgets they overcame. I just think
it's the biggest sport in the world as well.
World's most played sport by a mile. How hard is it to get to the top of what you'd arguably say is the top league when you haven't got access to all the players? That, you know, that sort of stuff. I just thought it was fabulous.
Never going to happen again either.
And
it
takes months and months and months playing week in week after week after week after week. It isn't an inspired tournament. It's an inspired, you know, 9 or 10 months. Yeah, it's just
relentless.
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. So anyway, that was on last night. I know you didn't like it. I didn't mind watching it, just as a catch up.
I was busy last night, mate. I was at a pub with some mates having dinner, and I walked in and thought, I've been here before. A little place in the Cotswolds. I've been here before.
Oh, you travel boy, don't you?
I do, mate. Yeah, and got a nice car overnight. I mentioned that, so I'm very lucky. So anyway, I walked in and thought, I've been here, and it was the time that we went to dinner. A few of us went to meet Zara again and Mike Tindall. Name dropping them a little bit this time. Zara and Mike Tindall for dinner,
a little bit.
Right?
God. Actually, do you know Mike Tindall and Zara Phillips?
I like them more than they like me.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, Tins was on a driving ban, so every time you went anywhere, you had to go and pick him up, right? So I said, Tins, do you want me to come by tomorrow and get you? Because the day before the lunch, dinner, I texted him. He said, no, you're all right. I'll get my license back tomorrow, so I'll get myself there. I'm sweet. So we're sitting in this little pub in the Cotswolds, and he's a bit late, and you hear the put into the car park. And I love cars and motorbikes and stuff. Yeah. So I look outside thinking, what is that? Because it's like making the windows rattle. And it's Tins, one day after driving sensibly, I must say, in a convertible white Bentley with 22-inch black rims. Like, the only bloke in the world who'd come off a driving ban and get given a bloody Bentley to drive the next day.
One of my favourite cars you had was... You had a silver BM before. You had to take the hard roof off, though, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a 330i convertible. Yeah.
God, you remember it.
I remember everything about it. I love that car. Mm. It's a great car.
I liked it as well.
But, spending money on cars is stupid, and...
You've had two Porsches, mind, in your...
I've had three, actually.
Okay.
Thank you. But I have spent money on cars.
All were Boxsters, just let you know. Carry on. Go on.
All 911s, actually.
Boxsters.
No Boxsters.
Caymans. They were Caymans.
No Caymans. No Caymi. No Boxster. No Boxster. No, I have spent money on cars. It doesn't... And I've never really been able to afford the ones I've had. And I don't do it to show off. I never care about what other people think of my cars. I just love cars. And
I just love to watch you getting in and out of your Porsche. It's amazing.
There's loads of room in a Porsche. Craig Quinnell had a 911 at the same time as me. Yeah, twice the size of me.
And he would also take 5 minutes to get out.
He had to have an automatic, admittedly, because he couldn't work the clutch. Wasn't enough room.
Okay.
But oh, there's loads of room in one of those.
Yeah, God. Yeah.
I even got one of the older, small ones a while
ago. Put the golf clubs in the back, loads of room.
Yeah, I mean, as long as they're sort of telescopic golf clubs.
As long as they're Fisher Price, you're fine.
But I have had some nice motors over the years, but I don't regret it because it's a passion of mine, so I'm happy to indulge it when I've almost got enough money. But right now, I don't have enough money to buy a Porsche, so I'm not going
to
buy one.
So Alex King, next story, off to Wales to coach them in the Six Nations.
Good lad, Kinger. Great lad.
Which makes me wonder, they brought Matt Sherritt in for the Autumn Internationals.
Yeah.
I thought he might have got a shot at the Six Nations.
Yeah.
Maybe he
Has
turned
he been
it down.
Off then?
I'm not sure. But he was backs and attack coach for the Autumn Internationals. He's now not. Alex King has come in. Don't know too much about Alex King's coaching.
I don't actually.
As a player, I thought he was a brilliant player.
Mm.
Very good 10. Play for Wasps in the glory days.
Quite good on a stag do, apparently.
Plenty of experience. Lovely bloke. Got fired from Northampton.
Experience means a bit. Lovely bloke means nothing. Good player means nothing.
I'm just saying it just in case he's listening to the pod.
But I think
you hate him. You told me that.
I can't stand the guy. I really like him. I think there is a good chance that Northampton Saints have sacked two really good attack coaches in him and Paul Grayson.
Okay,
that's what I think. I could definitely be wrong. It's a feeling I have that they are, you know, maybe they weren't, I don't know. I could be wrong, but I think they're a bit scapegoaty.
He's got now coming into Wales is an unbelievable opportunity to work with some class players who haven't quite found the style of play they want to play. There's a lot of ifs and buts about selection and who he's got to play with, but it'd be really good because he's basically got blank canvas now with Wales to try and turn them into an attacking team and not just a physical team, but actually to move the ball and to try and attack teams out wide. So
I look forward to seeing that.
I look forward to seeing it as well. I'm positive about it.
Hope it goes well for him.
So let's get through to some questions, shall we?
Have you got any lined up? Because I'm pretending I'm organised and I'm not.
Got
I'm
loads
around stuff.
We got one from Craig Taylor on Twitter. Thoughts on Finn Russell compared to other home nations 10s? Is a Lions shirt optimistic on current form? So how's he doing compared to Johnny Sexton, compared to George Ford and Farrell?
I reckon he is fourth choice out of those four.
At the moment,
but he could start. I hope he goes, because I love watching him play. I think he's brilliant. And he could start a Lions test and become a superstar.
We talk about these players going on the Lions tour only if they keep up this form, because obviously you've got the Six Nations to come round in February and March, and that's going to be a key indicator as to who Gatland is going to pick. We had one from Alex Feeney about Connaught Rugby versus Wasps, such a bad call under current rules. Yes, massive, massive faux pas. Thoughts on refereeing this weekend, particularly the French officials? From Richard Morrissey.
Consistently poor. How's that?
Yeah.
Out. Here's one. Can I ask for a shout out for Robert Mason from the Beckenham Vet team?
Yeah.
Now, I've been in Beckenham today. That's where I was today. It's his birthday on 31st of December and he's turning 50. Now, this is from Dad Rogers. Dad, we don't do shout outs, all right, mate, for Beckenham Rugby Club or for Robert Mason from the Vets team. We don't do that sort of stuff, so don't ask again, okay?
Okay.
There you go. But there you go, there's your double shout out. Happy birthday. Here's a funny one that I don't quite get from. He's got some really weird Welsh name. Like Ardy is what he calls himself, but it's Al Quinn, Welsh guy. Hello, lads. Have you ever got it properly wrong with your coach? Like worried about your future in rugby, let alone at the club, let alone in the first team. Can you understand anything I just said?
Have you read before, mate? When do you?
It's just that I don't get it. And I.
So have you ever had any issues with your club coach, which is you thought, oh wow, I might get the sack here, or he's not picking me?
I did have one with Buck Shelford at Sarries when I went on tour in 2002 with England, came back, played against Bristol, then Bath for Saracens, played two games, and it was somehow, I just felt great, body felt great, felt really clear about the game plan and stuff, and they were the best games, some of the best games I ever played, those two. I just felt great. And right at the end, the second game, I got injured playing against Bath and hurt my shoulder. Finished the game, so it didn't really hurt that much. Then they did a little scan and it was knackered. So I was out for 6 months in the World Cup year, and I still maintain that's why I wasn't captain at the World Cup.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't got an MBE, whatever they've got. So I'm injured for a little bit, and they bring in a guy called Kershaw. Remember Kershaw, the prop? What was his red hair guy? Ginger
John?
Guy? No. Kershaw, Andy Kershaw.
Nick?
All right. Andy Kershaw, prop. Played really. So they brought him in, I think because I was injured or he's there anyway, I can't remember. Anyway, he played a lot when I was injured, and I was still injured, and I was just about to come back, and Buck Shelfer called me into his office, and he's like, hey, after the first two games, he debriefed my first two games, and I remember his words were like, mate, you're actually playing amazing. I'm like kind of a different player from last season. His exact word was amazing. Right now, I wasn't amazing. I was amazing compared to what I've been like the last season. I just felt great, and I thought, hang on, I might actually be all right here. Got injured, and that was that. And then he calls me in when I'm still injured, nearly back, my arm's out of the sling and all that stuff, and I'm running around again, and he says, contract's up at the end of the season. I said, yeah, I know. He goes, you know, you never want to go into negotiations injured. I said, yeah, I know, it's a bit of a nightmare. He's like, look, difficult one, but if you've got other options, has your agent looked around? I said, no, because I thought I'd be staying here. Like, Nigel Ray's never given me the impression I'd be leaving here. And he was like, well, just, you know, what I would say is if you've got other options, do look at those. And I said, so I'm getting cut, like, from the squad, thinking, well, I didn't expect that. Not because I was arrogant, because I played well, and I just played for England, and I was a young English prop, and I didn't cost them that much then, and I was like, okay. And he basically told me I was getting chopped. Anyway, I was like, wow, really shell-shocked. So I came out still injured. I was like, oh my God, I haven't got a contract anymore, and I'm injured, going to try and get another club halfway through a season. I was like, oh, geez. So then the next day, I remember Kershaw was at training or something, and I remember him being a really nice guy and good company, and he said something along the lines of, happy days for me, happy days, yeah. Not he didn't know I was getting cut, I hadn't told anybody. And he was like, he was basically saying, yeah, happy days, they've sorted me right out on two or three years, whatever he said, decent wedge, happy with that. I remember him saying that. And I get a call. I get a call from the CEO, Mark Sinderby, I think his name was.
Yeah.
We went for a chat. He said, do you want to meet about your contract in a cafe up the road? So I took my agent up there and we had a chat the next week. And he started talking about, like, next year, and we'll give you a 3-year deal, and who do you think we should sign? And I was like, what are you talking about? I've been cut. He's like, what? Buck told me. Mate, Buck got the wrong guy. He literally told Kersh he was getting 3 years and told me I was getting the boot. Literally got the wrong guys. He'd been in the same club as us every day. I was bald. Kersh had ginger hair. I was in a sling. He was playing every week. He got the wrong guys, mate.
You know,
shocking.
Gareth Jenkins, when Gareth Jenkins was coach of Wales during 2007 World Cup. So his number two was Nigel Davis, son Sam, now playing for the Ospreys and had a couple of caps for Wales. And he used to do the team off the top of his head, like, as you should. You know, you've picked the team, you know the team, and he'd go 15, Gareth Thomas. 14, Mark Jones. He'd always let the Scarlets.
Yeah.
Put a bit more emphasis on the Scarlets.
Mark Jones.
Yeah.
Mark Jones! He'd go in a meeting.
13, Tom Shanklin. 12. Nige! Help me out! James Hook. Number 12. He would get stuck doing the team. It would be brilliant. He was an amazing bloke. Right, we've got a question here on Twitter from Rosk Urquhart. Are the current Glasgow Warriors the best ever Scottish club side?
Yep.
I can't remember a better one, but there might have
that
been.
That means it's the best ever. If we can't remember it in the last 3 years, they're the best ever, mate. Come on. That's how it works, isn't it?
Right. Actually, a bit of a random one here from Andrew, which is probably one of your mates, mate, or Will Carlin's, at Spandex Warrior. Excellent Champions Cup action, which leads me to my question. What is the Christmas Day meat of your choice?
Well, I love turkey, but I have turkey all year round if I can get it. Not every week.
Because it's so lean, mate. Because it is so lean.
It's who I am.
Yeah.
But turkey's about the easiest meat to dry out, in my experience. So what I tried recently was, I've got a lot of different grills at home, and this is not sponsored, so I gave someone some money for this thing. I've got something called a Traeger, which I got from a place called Alfresco Chef up north. Got it online, and it's an electronic, digitally controlled wood pellet grill, yada, yada, yada. Put your turkey in, leave it on a low temp. You basically slow smoke your turkey with...
Okay.
I did it with some really nice pecan wood pellets and whatever. And I cut into it, and no joke, when you cut into it, the moisture literally burst out of the skin.
Yeah.
And my missus and a couple of mates have had round, don't like turkey, don't eat turkey at Christmas. Said this is the best turkey ever. And all I did was put it in, turn it on and leave it. So turkey is back on the menu. I also like, beef's my favourite meat, but I don't eat it at Christmas because I eat it most days of the year anyway. But turkey and a big ham, a nice big ham is what I like.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a turkey this year. And I'm also going to go for a fillet wrapped in a sirloin steak.
Oh, stop yeah. it.
Cow within a cow.
Oh, well played, mate.
Yeah,
that'd
yeah.
be lovely.
That'll
do us, won't it? We've been going for hours. I just want to go home now.
I've had a statement here from Midge Tabor. Didn't realise the BFG coach Leinster.
Leo Cullen, the polar bear. I went into a little wee fella called Andrew Dunn, who played fly half at Leinster for a while.
Danny
Quinns. Then he came to Bath for a season or two. Just a little donner. He's just the loveliest man in the whole world, right? Just a great guy. Loved the piss. Just great value. And everyone loved him at Bath. And I went to his flat once in Bath. And he had a mate round. And the mate had brought his girlfriend. And his girlfriend and this girlfriend... This could land me in trouble, this, because Leo Cullen's the sort of guy to chin people for this sort of thing. Anyway, the girl was in there. And I walked into the front room with little Dunner. And I was like, mate, who is that? She's fit. And he was like, it's the polar bear's sister. So who's the polar bear? Leo Cullen. Leo Cullen's sister. I was like... Oh my God, she looks exactly like Leo. Okay, it's really strange. So you can see it in her face that it says his sister, but gorgeous, yeah, beautiful.
Oh.
And more importantly, a really, really lovely, tall? Intelligent, intimidatingly intelligent person. Tall.
Yeah.
I don't remember, it was years ago, 10 years ago now, but I remember being really, really sort of reminiscent of Leo Cullen, but looking like him, but...
Attractive.
The pretty one.
Yeah.
Thank God it wasn't the other way around.
Yeah.
Because big, ugly rugby players can be attractive to some people.
The endorphins were kicking off.
Yeah.
Got it. We're not going to have a podcast next week. We're going to have a bit of time off. We're going to come back to you after the new year.
Yeah.
It's Christmas, isn't it? You know, be chilling out a bit, eating.
Yeah.
Going for walks.
I'm working over Christmas though, boy.
Yeah, same. I'm doing Boxing Day. Doing
me too.
Derby.
Me too.
Watching a game in the box.
Oh, having a few drinks. I'm commentating on Bristol Worcester actually.
Are you? That could be good. Yeah, it could be a good one.
Yeah, Twickers on the 27th. It doesn't stop, mate. It just doesn't stop.
No, it's really. Oh,
I just want to give something back.
Feel for you,
mate. The game gave me so much. I just want to give something back.
Feel for you and your Range Rover. So, if you want to get in contact with us, Twitter
at Flats and Shanks.
Yes, Facebook
Flats and Shanks.
Flats and Shanks, and also email, which is contact@flatsandshanks.com.
Yeah, we love you all very much. Please review us and say nice things and. Because it's Christmas, yeah?
Merry Christmas.
Ta-da.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.